Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dallin Cuff is an ESPN college basketball analyst and perhaps a gambling enthusiast, if not a gambling analyst. He joins us right now, courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline. BetQL, bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Before we go backwards, Dallin, through the tournament so far, who do you like tonight in the other four Sweet 16 games?
Well, you mentioned the betting piece of it, so good to be on with you. I'll touch on a few things. I don't think Princeton wins, but I do like Princeton with the 10 points. I try to take my bias out of that. I would like to see the Tigers do well, but they
you played at Columbia. Let me just share that with everybody. You played at Columbia, so
yeah,
you're
that
an Ivy League guy. Ivy League always does pretty well. We've had some Sweet 16 teams over the years. Certainly Cornell. You know, was Cornell the last?
Yeah,
Ivy
Cornell
to make the Sweet 16?
Cornell 2010, but Harvard won the first game in 2014. Yale beat Baylor in 16. They've had success in recent years, and will continue to. The league's way better than when I was in it, let's say the least. I couldn't play in this league, so this league is good.
and the players your Lions never quite made a serious run to the tournament.
No.
It's been a while.
It's been since Martin Luther King. Same year MLK was shot was the last time the Lions were in the big well, dance. That's how long ago that
we
was.
We don't need to bring up horrible memories to sync it up with an important date because the former date's more important, but go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. No doubt about that. I like the 10 points that Princeton's going to get. I think the matchup with Ryan Culpretter, people now know Tosin Awoma, League's Player of the Year last year or two seasons ago, first team All-League player, kind of point forward. Unique guy. When you see Culpretter stride away from the hoop, sometimes Creighton can struggle to defend at the elite level that they usually are. They're top 20 in offensive defensive efficiency. I really have liked this team for the last couple months. I think they win, but give me the 10 points there. Alabama, I think they beat San Diego State. I know San Diego State will make it a slog. They can be physical with you. And that's really the key. You got to be physical with Alabama, especially with Brandon Miller. And they can struggle a bit. I'm not touching this game from a betting standpoint. It's a 7.5-point line. That may be a bit much, but I think Alabama wins that game. I do like Miami a lot tonight. I think Miami is just undervalued. I like them with the points. They're getting 7.5 at some books. I wonder if that even goes to 8 because I think these people just disrespect the amount of guys they have that can score. It's unique in college basketball when you have 3 or 4 guys on the floor that can create a shot for themselves or their teammates. They have that. And then they also have a big in North Shadow Mir that causes some problems. Houston's elite on the defensive end. They're elite offensive rebounding. That backboards will be critical. Miami has to clean up the glass, not just to not allow Houston to score, but to get the ball off the rim and go the other way, start and play in transition, and try to play the pace they want to play because Houston wants to walk it up. Miami wants to run it up. Last is Xavier in Texas. I think Xavier's done a hell of a job of course-correcting things after losing Zach Fremantle. They are a very good offensive team, have some great guards led by Sule Boom. But I do think Texas is too much. Texas will defensively get in you. They'll extend their defense at times like they've done to Kansas and speed teams up and make them kind of impose their will on teams. And offensively, they can go deep as well. And so Jabari Rice is the best sixth man in the country. So I like Texas to cover that line at -4, but those are my picks for tonight.
By the way, I think you mentioned something that I didn't emphasize enough because there were some really impressive performances from last weekend. I thought Xavier was exceptionally impressive in their win. Obviously, Princeton. I thought K-State's win over Kansas State was really impressive. Miami dismantled an Indiana team that, you know, Denton and I watched all year long because we are Maryland guys and Big Ten guys. And not only did they dismantle Indiana, they dominated them on the glass. class. And you're talking about a team, you know, with Thompson and Trace Jackson Davis. And it was, I mean, it was a bloodletting. And by the way, I think Larrañaga has, you know, obviously proven himself to be a really good coach and a really good coach this time of year. And you pointed out their ability to score. It's a fascinating matchup tonight, for sure. Let's go back to last night, because we saw two epic games. Is there a better story right now in this tournament than Marquise Noel?
No, but I actually would expand that out to Kansas State. I mean, this is the Jerome Tang to take over that job. I mean, think about this time, like basically, you know, this time last year, essentially, he had two players in the team as he took the job at Kansas State. There were two guys available, two scholarship players. He had to go out and do what modern coaches have to do. You got to identify talent of the existing pool of players in college basketball, piece that together, sell your vision as a new coach in the Little Apple. Not exactly, you know, they've had some decent success under Bruce Weber in the last 10 or 15 years, but, you know, they're still the little brother to Kansas. They still haven't won. They're still trying just to be nationally relevant. You're selling them. It's a hard pitch. And you bring this group together.
Did Weber get him to that Elite Eight game against, was it South Carolina a few years ago?
Yeah, with Dean
right.
Wade.
Yeah,
that was his crew. And they had good years. Don't get me wrong. They competed for Big 12 titles, but they weren't. From a national standpoint,
sure.
That's why they were underdogs. In all honesty, in the last game against Michigan State,
they're barely favored over FAU.
It's really a brand name underdog situation with those two games in my mind, because people, especially the casual bettors right now in the NCAA tournament, they know Michigan State and Izzo. They know that narrative. You can't make them favorites. They're the underdogs, so they're going to be favorites without a doubt. Kentucky is Kentucky. That brand name carries it. When you look at the resume, K-State had a better resume against better teams, and I thought better players. And in both those games. And now they were Kentucky wasn't as tight as Michigan State, but they proved that out. And I do think Jerome Tang is up for National Coach of the Year. I think he should get it. He's done a hell of a job of building this team. And forget what the success in the tournament. Before that, it was a remarkable story. Now the country has been captivated by this 5'8 dynamo that is Marquise Noel and the way he played last night in the world's most famous arena. He's from Harlem. I mean, it's a remarkable story, but he's a hell of a player. Keontae Johnson is one of the best stories in college basketball as well. Collapsed, nearly lost his life on the floor, you know, a couple years ago after COVID. And now he's back there starring in this role, and he's got all these other players around him. Like, this is truly a remarkable story and unique to college basketball currently, because this wouldn't have happened years ago. You got to get in the portal. You got to figure things out. You cobble it together. You build a culture. You build a team. You build a vision, and you go. And that's exactly what Jerome Tang did.
Yeah, you know, it's so true the way he did it. And by the way, you know, the team they beat last night, basically that group went to Izzo before, you know, last season's transfer portal, you know, / free agency season started and said, we don't want a lot of new players. We think we're good enough. Well, they were good enough to get to the Sweet 16. And the game was phenomenal. And we'll talk about it in a moment. But you bringing up K-State, it's interesting because as a – you know, hardcore college basketball fan, and I've been one for a long period of time. K-State's like one of those places, right, that has had a lot of success, but has never been. I don't think they've ever been to a Final Four. I just looked it up. They've been to 8 regional finals. They've been to 8 Elite Eights, including 3 in the last 13 years. Remember, Frank Martin took them to an Elite Eight as well before Bruce Weber did it, and now Jerome Tang in his first year has done it. They've had some really good teams, but they just get completely masked in that league by Big Brother, you know, in Lawrence. It's just always been that way. One of these years, maybe they'll break through. Maybe it's this year. That game last night.
Kevin, on that note real quick, if you remember when they beat Kansas at home earlier this season,
right,
and the fans were chanting FKU, and Coach Tang got on the mic and said, no, it's not about them.
Right.
It's about us. And he started the KSU chant. That was kind of like when it became his program, saying this: we can't have that mentality that we're excited because we beat Kansas.
Right.
It's because we're on a path to be a number one team in the nation. That's what we're doing here. And that was what really kind of signaled to me and the rest of the country, like, this guy, not only get it, he's changing the culture and the mindset of everybody there.
Look, Dallin, after watching them beat Kentucky, and I liked Michigan State last night. I'm a contrarian better, and I didn't think that they should be the favored team, and the public was backing K-State, and whatever. That's beside the point. In watching K-State on Sunday, I thought I was watching a team very capable of winning the whole thing. And after watching last night, I still feel that way. That would be huge for that university and for, the little Big Apple of Manhattan, Kansas, to not only win a national championship, but win one, by the way, the year after Kansas won one. And they're capable of doing it, I do think. That game last night was crazy good. And the performance by Noel, the 19 assists, an NCAA record. It's one of the better performances you'll ever see all around. It's the last possession. Did you think? And I talked about this earlier. I thought Hauser and Malik Hall turned down open looks before throwing it back to Walker, who ended up getting stripped by Noel. Game over. But you had two, and Hauser, their best 3-point shooter. First of all, K-State chose not to foul in that spot up three. But did you think Hall and Hauser had decent looks like I did or not?
I did. I thought Hauser's was the play was for Hauser to get that pop-up screen at the top of the key. There was a great closeout. I think it was.
There was a good closeout. There could have been a pump fake. The guy would have flown by, and he still would have had an open look, I thought.
I think so, too. Now, it does take great poise, and we can Monday morning quarterback that a lot for Hauser. And it was Cam Carter with a great closeout. And he jumped, though, too. You're right. He shot fake, one dribble left. He probably would have got the look off. And that's what they wanted and what they needed. They were running a play for a three, not for a two in that situation. And I think that there was because they were only up two. It was 82-80, I believe. Oh, sorry. I'm thinking of a regular.
No, 96-93.
It's in overtime now. He should have had the shot fake and gone left and taken the three. He didn't do that. And you can money monitor a quarterback. But that was a good play. It was defended well enough. And then when you pass up good shots or decent shots for the situation, to your point, you usually end up in trouble. And that's exactly what Walker was. Walker was then in desperation times, and Noel had quick hands and made a big play. And it's unfortunate that goes out with like that when we're looking back on that as for Izzo and the team. But that's the same thing the Michigan State players are doing right now. They would love to have that play back. And that's the hard part about this tournament or any games. You sit there and you think of, they always say this, you think about the losses more than the wins. And I didn't get the chance to play in the tournament. We didn't have an Ivy League tournament. You had to win the league. We couldn't beat Penn and Princeton. I get it. But you sit there and think about the losses. So those poor guys, they will think about that play for the rest of their lives because they think they could have done something a little bit different that at least got the ball in the rim and had a chance maybe to tie that game.
Well, no different than gamblers who remember the bad losses much more than the great wins. We are talking to Dallin Cuff. He does a great job as a college basketball analyst with ESPN. What about the game last night? How about pulling up from 28 feet down one with 8 seconds to go in transition? Very similar to the way that, Villanova won against Carolina a few years ago with the 3-pointer at the buzzer, but there were still 7 seconds left when Strother shot that. What did you think of that play?
I mean, I did. I had money on Gonzaga, and I go, why'd you shoot that? Okay, good shot. It's just one of those no, yes situations because, I mean, Mark, you did say that is the Jay Wright Villanova play with Chris Jenkins. You drive at the other team's, the guy guarding your teammate. You drive at him, you pitch it back to give him a little separation. It's almost like a little rub play. And pitch it back. But as you also said, I thought you get that space to turn the corner. Like you get him going to his strong hand, to his right
down
hand.
Down one.
Exactly. To get him going downhill, you do not settle for a 28-footer. Well, I'm not Julian Strother. I'm not an NBA player. He did. And, when they go in, we remember them going in. Because otherwise, we're sitting here being like, what a terrible shot. But he took some stones or some onions, as Raph would say, buries the shot. And then how about UCLA? The look that UCLA got going the other way was disconcerting still. But we'll talk about Drew Timmy having 30 with 36. He now has 10 games of 20 points or more in the tournament. That's a record. But it finally was Gonzaga's defense that changed the game. Because UCLA got literally any shot they wanted in the first half. Tiger Campbell was
Hawk has had one drive after another with literally no resistance as he went to the rim.
It was almost comical. I was like, guys, this is ridiculous. And on the second half, now this was part of UCLA's problem all year, is scoring. They can go through droughts. Well, Gonzaga's defense was much better. UCLA's really struggled at points. It was an 11-minute drought or so. But their activity was better, their activity on the ball, the communication on the ball screen. And where they really hurt UCLA, too, that can wear you down, is the offensive glass, man. They had 16 offensive boards. That begins to demoralize you. You touched on it earlier in the Indiana game. But that Miami team demoralized Trayce Jackson-Davis and crew. Narshad Omir had 8 offensive rebounds in that game. It was similar in the Gonzaga game. When you keep getting shot and shot again for a great offensive team, that hurts your defense. It also hurts your offense because UCLA was playing in pretty good transition in the first half. They were getting steals, deflections. even off the rim, they were going and they were scoring easily. So that really changed the game, defending and rebounding. As much as Gonzaga's offense is the showcase piece for them, defending and rebounding has made them better. One of the best teams in the country the last 5 or 6 weeks, and they finally showed it in the final 20 minutes.
Yeah, when you have to guard for a lot longer period of time, it actually impacts your offense on the other end because you're exhausted. I thought that's the way the Michigan State game started. They had like 5 shots on their first possession with 4 offensive rebounds. What a game. Great job. I really enjoyed the conversation, Dallin. Appreciate it. Follow Dallin on Twitter, at DalenCuff, at Dallin Cuff. Does a great job as a college basketball analyst for ESPN. Appreciate the time.
Thanks, Kevin. Have a good one.
Yep. By the way, I want to tell you about Hint Water. Hint is pure water infused with surprisingly true fruit flavors, including watermelon, blackberry, and cherry. No sugar, no sweeteners, no calories. Available in your local grocery store or at drinkhint.com. Hint Water with a touch of true fruit flavor. Have a smell test pick or two when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.